As you may know, I am the daughter of Italian immigrants. But Italian immigrants with more class privilege than most people would think of when they hear the word immigrant. Although my parents arrived with very little money, they both came here with advanced degrees, which, by the way, are tuition-free in Italy. Which is an immediate advantage, right? So my father came here to complete his medical residency and went on to become a family doctor, offering our family a very comfortable life. So each year, we had the privilege of flying to visit our relatives, our cousins, our aunts and uncles in Italy. That was where we went. And I particularly remember visiting my grandmother, Yolanda. It's my mom's mom. My grandparents owned and operated a pasticceria. Their two-floor apartment flat was on top of it, so you always had this smell of Italian pastries. It's like that yeasty smell that wafted up through the house. And, of course, when we would arrive from America, it was a big deal. And we would get into my grandmother's kitchen, and there would be a big wrapped package of all those pastries in that paper that was used, and maybe is still used, to wrap pastries in Italy. It was my grandmother's way of welcoming us. Now, my nonna had another welcoming tradition. Each year, she treated us to tortellini in brodo, a northern Italian delicacy. Now, unlike the Buitoni packaged tortellini that you can find today, these were hard to come by and were fresh. And in brodo means they were kind of in a soup. And so that was a beautiful treat that she offered to us. So today I look back at those welcome traditions, these family rituals, if you like, with a smile at their simple beauty. Just the smell of those pastries, and if I smell them now, that kind of smell just brings me back to that time of my youth. But here's the thing. I loved the pastries. I hated the tortellini in brodo. Every single year, I kind of choked it down. And every year, my dear nonna was surprised that anybody would not like her tortellini in brodo. And she would apologize. And then the next year, there would be the bowls of tortellini in brodo again. So looking back, I can appreciate how that small detail would escape my nonna's memory year after year, especially as she aged. And my family holds this memory with playfulness, with the remembrance of me kind of trying to get it down to honor my grandmother while it was just so horrible for me. Welcome and hospitality are central to many religious traditions. If you look closely, a big part of that welcome is attentiveness to the guest. Honoring guests by providing food and lodging for whomever knocks on your door is central to Islam, along with being able to identify their possible needs in advance. Being able to imagine and identify and try and serve the person in advance of them ever having to say that to you. And it is a guest's responsibility then to drink the soup. We see that form of hospitality also woven into Christian monastic life. One of the most famous is the Order of Saint Benedict, whose Rule of Benedict is still used today, and it was written in the year 500. The foundation of the rule is listening with the ear of the heart. Listening with the ear of the heart. And as with any spiritual discipline, even one that is outwardly focused, the intent of any practice of welcome is not only for the guest, but as an opportunity for your own inner transformation. Listening, so central to providing a sense of welcome. Attentiveness. So this month, and this year, in fact, we will be exploring the question, what does it mean to be a people of welcome? It's the Soul Matters theme for this month, but as we look at becoming more and more inclusive, that's going to be a piece of what we're looking at. And we're going to look at it through a book that's the common read for the congregation, Salsa, Soul, and Spirit. And we're going to be looking at it in a variety of ways of how is our congregational life, this big tent theology that we have with so much promise for the world right now, how is it that we are living it out in a way that provides a more inclusive welcome over and over again? As part of that, we need to notice those times when those we wish to welcome might actually be choking on what we are offering with our best intentions. Extending our welcome is going to mean being willing to adapt to the guest, no matter who they may be. There's been some hard learning in Unitarian Universalism these past few months about that, about ways that Unitarian Universalism has been unintentionally exclusive. And this ritual we're about to perform today, our annual UU Water Ceremony, is emblematic of some of the challenges that we may not have been able to see, but really are there in terms of extending welcome. So for years, we UUs, myself included, have heard grumblings about how about the unintentional exclusive aspects of our cherished water ceremony. The traditional way of handling this ceremony is people come up, and there's two microphones, and they come up and they, no matter how it's phrased about the meaning of their water, people come up and say where their water is from. And we go to some pretty cool places. Some of us. Some of us don't. And what has happened in that ritual is it has become unintentionally exclusive to people for whom travel is not a part of their summer journeys. And a newcomer, or even someone who's been here for years, can begin to wonder, do I belong here? Even though our intention is to say, everyone belongs. Come, bring your water. If you forgot your water, come and be a part of it. But that naming, we have come to learn, and we've been hearing the grumblings for years about it, can have that unintended consequence of having people feel unwelcome here. So this year, we're going to listen with the ear of our heart. Or perhaps I will say, I listened with the ear of our heart. And among the staff here, we decided to make a change, and we're going to try something new. There will be no microphones for sharing this morning. Instead, before you come up for the water, we're going to invite you to take a moment and write down the meaning of the water for you, something meaningful that happened to you this summer. And if it's connected to a location, please do write that down. And even write your name on the paper. There's a little sticky in your orders of service. And then you'll bring that up and we'll be adding it to that beautiful watery piece of art over there. Silently. And you'll pour your water silently while Tad will play us some music. We can be graced by the sounds of the music. And perhaps, just perhaps, we'll find that this change, this way of adapting to the guest, to those who may be less privileged than some of us here, is not only more welcoming to all, but also transformative to each. Let us enter into this season of welcome with an open heart, willing to change and be changed.